The Kleenex ready.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Red Fox Blogger. I'm your host, Cal Fritzy. And that was not the usual opening, as you have figured out. We're honoring the memory of a young lady that died on June 20th in 2009, and her name was Netta Sultani. That day, a young woman was shot down near Carger Avenue in Tehran at 7 p.m. local time. She fell on her back and blood ran out of her mouth. On doing so, she started into, she stared into a mobile camera, wounded, terrified, and helpless. She died shortly afterwards on the way to the hospital. Her last words were, "I'm burning," and thus the Arab Spring was born. Neda Sultani is the poster child for strivations of democracy in the Middle East, and especially in Iran. Speaking with her affianced, Caspian Macon, it was a very difficult conversation. Her affianced now resides in Canada, and I speak with him every once in a while, you know. And he was theirs was quite the love story. She was an artist. He was an artist. She played instruments, and she was beautiful. And he was a photographer. And on the there was an uprising going on, you know, like there was a demonstration in Tehran. Now, Neda Aga Sultan, or Sultani, she was 26 years old. She was a student of philosophy. She never really had much of an interest in politics, but she saw fraudulence in the re-election of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And she became a little more active, but she wasn't necessarily going to a demonstration. Her and her music teacher were just going back home. But the air conditioning in the car was not working, so they pulled over just to get out and get some breeze. But they happened to come across this demonstration. And there were snipers on rooftops. There are books out there by Shola Wolf that you can read. Rooftops of Tehran, The Scar Saloon, and Sin Selected poems. It is a tragedy. You know, the name Neda in Persian means the call. You guys know that I am a counter-jihadist, and anything Islam leaves a foul taste in my mouth, but Neda was not a Muslima, nor was Caspian Macon. They belonged to a very rare sect, which did not embrace the Quran, the evil green book. Neda walked out that door that day, and Caspian said, please stay away from the demos. She said, I'm just going to my music lesson. He said, okay, I'll meet you back here at such and such a time. And she said, yep. And they probably would have gotten back together and watched TV or something. But the car overheated, the air conditioning wasn't working, and they got out. And Neda saw the demo, and she was like, oh my gosh, like, what's going on here? The music teacher tried to save her life, as many others did. She was shot in the heart. Her last words, I'm dying. I'm burning. I'm dying. I'm burning. And that is an homage to Netta. Leave the Bazhi bullet in my heart. Falter prayer in my blood. And hush, Father, I am not dead. More light than mass, I flood through you. Breathe through your eyes. Stand in your shoes on the rooftops. In the streets, march with you. In the cities and villages of our country. Shouting through you, with you. I am Netta, thunder on your tongue. Just to give you a little bit of a backstory, of course. The story of Netta Soltani, a story of what media can do to an innocent person. You know, like the media, we know how much the media twists and turns and makes things completely different from what they actually are. And we know that the media can change things. We witnessed this in Canada, the UK, Australia, the United States, especially when these news outlets are state-sponsored. Netta, she was a beautiful young woman. This is an article by Vaughn David Scraven. She who was presumed dead sat opposite me. She talked. She laughed. But sometimes I could feel her fear. Neda Sultani had to flee. She had to leave her homeland. Everything seems so different here. It's this obscure address near Frankfurt at Emmaus. The snow, the frost, the rain, the inclement streets. It is a foreign country for this young woman. Almost everyone in the world knows Neda Sultani's picture. It appeared on TV and the internet and in the newspapers in almost every house. It's a picture of someone who had died. This well-known portrait shows a young brown-eyed woman, carefully made up. The veil, obligatory in Iran, is pushed back slightly. One can see the beginnings of luxuriant hair. She smiles gently, a bit innocent, but friendly. But right now, here in a cafe, somewhere near Frankfurt, Neda Sultani has become harder. She's not wearing a veil anymore. One can see a gray strand. They are growing on her forehead. It was a misunderstanding, she says, a mistake, an error with terrible consequences. Neda Sultani got caught up in the tumult between the fronts after the fraudulent election in Iran and, of course, Ahmadinejad. She was hounded, hunted, and had to flee. Her old life fell apart like a shattered mirror. Her photo, that picture with a gentle smile, was torn from her. Neda Sultani lived in Tehran up to half a year ago. She taught English literature there. She speaks this language fluently, precisely, and intellectually. In summer, she completed a work on feminine symbolism in the works of Joseph Conrad. For that reason, she had no time to take part in the protest in Iran. She had to do proofreading in June. My aim was to become a professor one day, should I prove good enough for it. Okay, just remember that. She was a teacher, and she could not tear herself from her goal of being a scholar. So she did not have enough time to take part in the protests in Iran. Her parents belonged to the Iranian middle class. She does not want to say exactly where she grew up or where her family does because she's afraid. She was afraid back then because she was aware of the problems. Remember, I said, though, she was apolitical. But she knew things were not going well. But she was diligent when it came to learning, that's for sure. As the author of this article goes on to say, I was an academic. And she says, I worked hard for 10 years to get a position as a lecturer in that university. I earned money, I went out with friends, and I had fun. But she had none of that as of that day. No work, no money, and no friends to go out with. Netta Sultani is now 32 years old. Okay. The story of her photo, guys, it began June 20th of 2009. That day, a young woman was shot down near Kirger Avenue in Tehran at 7 p.m. local time. And that was the photograph that went around the world. Her last conscious movement was staring into a cell phone. Her artist teacher and a bystander are placing their hands on her chest to try to control the bleeding. But they can't because the blood spills out of her mouth and her nose. She's burning up. She's dying. You know, the big TV stations soon got wind of the dying woman from bloggers and Twitter. Editors try to identify the woman, press for time, they look for pictures. Netta, her first name, could be heard on video. So the internet quickly turned up a surname, Sultan. Student at the Azad University in Tehran. Now, somebody used these data to search in Facebook. But her name is Netta Sultani, who also had a profile there. Netta had a Facebook account. There you go. You know, I don't know who put all of this information together, but I'm going to post this link in the chat room for everybody right now, because this is just the absolute weakness of the internet. This was the story at the time, okay? And so I'm going to put the link in there. And let you guys absorb that a little later. But there are facts, okay? There are facts. This is kind of bothering me because on the night of June 21st of 2009, someone copied the photo of the living Netta Sultani from her Facebook profile, and that's the link I just put in the chat room for you guys. It was sent to all the social networks, blogs, and portals. Soon it was being used by CNN, BBC, CBS, CDF, ARD, and every other conceivable station. It was printed in the newspapers and magazines of dozens of countries. It all happened simultaneously worldwide. The photo of this young woman became the symbol of freedom fight in the Persian Gulf. But furious people carried the pictures of this alleged murder before them in demonstrations. They carried it on their t-shirts and built altars to her. The Angel of Iran, they called her. But it was a photo swap. They printed the wrong bloody picture. You guys scroll up and I'm not going to talk any further until you guys scroll up. Now, go up there and look at the slides, because believe it or not, putting the slides together for shows is the hardest part of producing a radio show. So not only do I appreciate your taking time out of your valuable day to be with me, but you take a look at my slides. But that's not the point. Go up there and take a look at Netta. I'll wait. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. Thank you. I know you're all doing that because I badger you to do so. But yeah, what they were doing is that they were showcasing the wrong woman. Don't mind me, and I just knocked over my tea mug. Damn it. Anyway. Now, it became some sort of a photo swap. Soltani is a common name in Iran. Of course, that's how it could happen. Yes, I understand that. You know, in the United States, Canada, and the UK, it would be as common as Smith or Miller. And the name Netta is also not unusual. It's, you know, similar like Sonia or Kelly in Ireland. Now, the murdered Netta, though, she studied at the private Islamic Asad University. The living Netta Soltani was a lecturer there. Shouldn't the media have done better research on the photo they were using instead of copying and posting it directly from a Facebook profile and sending it around the world? But time was pressing. We had to get the story out. But one thing should have been there to make them pause, and that is the full name of the dead woman was Netta Ega Sultan. The name of the living Netta was simply Netta Soltani. See? I hope you guys are following the bouncing ball, because I'm bringing up a point as well about this. Sultan and Soltani are interchangeable surnames. Some people call her Netta Sultan. Some people call her Netta Soltani. And nobody can get her name right. I think this is disgusting. They featured a woman who had absolutely nothing to do with Netta Sultan. And this poor lady was the attention of very much unwanted. Information, as it were. But that's not the point, you know. The point is, a young woman died. For what? It is frightening to me. That a young lady or a young gentleman, you know, they can go out there and protest. And say to their government, we don't like what you're doing, and we're going to protest against it, and it's peaceful. And they only have their placards, okay? They, you know, they're not ISIS. They're not Al-Qaeda. They're students. They're workers. They're moms and dads. All they want to do is go out there and say, we do not like what you are doing, and we want to put a stop to it. And what happens? You end up like Netta, with a bullet in your heart. Today, I honor the memory of Netta. She was not a Muslim, nor was Caspian. They did follow a sect, but they did not follow the Quran. That's what made these people unique. They were university students. One was a musician. Another one was a photographer. Both were apolitical. Then 1979 came around in Iran, and life changed drastically, and they did not like it. And Netta became political. Caspian as well. Two young people in their 20s trying to make a difference in their country. And one died for her efforts. Her affianced was jailed for months and months. When he was finally released, he found asylum in a Western country. And I speak with him to this day. I have been speaking with Caspian for 4 years. I have sent him this link to the show, and I hope that I do justice to Netta Caspian. I do have a caller here. I'm going to bring them on, and I know who this is. Hi.
Are you sure?
0882. How are you?
All right, and yourself?
Not too bad. How are you?
Oh, not bad. I can't complain. I was just listening.
God,
you know,
missed you.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while. So I figured tonight, almost fell out of my chair here. I figured I can call tonight and see what's happening. You know, was listening. And, you know, it's funny how you're talking about that young girl that was murdered over there in Iran.
Yeah,
and,
I know,
Jim. How about the one from Afghanistan who wanted to go to school? That little girl there who was shot.
Oh, yeah,
yep,
that young lady, yes, that was shot in the head.
Yep,
and
she was shot in the head.
And she's residing in Great Britain, yeah.
Yep. Well, they'll probably try to get her in Great Britain, too. You know, this is the way these savages are.
Oh, they will.
You know, I mean, because I saw something earlier today, and I don't know how true it was. I think it was from Graham there. His name is Graham out of England.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the Shias and Sunnis over there in London are going at each other now, according to, you know, to what I read there, you know. So.
Oh, are they rumbling in the streets of London, Jim?
Yep, the Shias and the Sunnis are going at each other now because of what's happening in Iraq, you know. So, I mean, you just, you know, karma has a certain way of, you know, coming back and biting you. You know, like I said, you know, I totally forgot about that girl in Iran until you know, I was listening to you here. And then it hit me about that young little girl who they tried to kill, who they still have a fatwa on her, you know? And, you know, it's sad.
Take those dodgy fatwas.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, people like, it's like, I saw something, and I don't know if it was on yours or somebody else's page, that some mosque, it might be up in Toronto, they don't want people parking their cars near the mosque.
Oh, yeah, Jim. And you know what? I am going to suspend my tribute to Netta for a moment, and that is because Jim from Boston is such a great friend, and I am grateful for him being here. Yeah, Jim, that story out of Toronto. Yeah, what's happening is what they did is that they decided that they felt put upon because they were, this is in Mississauga, Ontario, mm-hmm. Canada, ladies and gentlemen, and this is a borough of Toronto. And what Jim is referring to is there are two men in particular that say a parking restriction in the city of Mississauga that's in effect during Friday prayer services discriminates against Muslims, and they're asking the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario to back their claim. Yep. Oh, yep. Here we go, Jim. Yep. Salman Khalid, he's 32. He is an emergency physician, and please do not allow this person to treat your child. Okay, just saying. At a hospital about a half an hour from the ISNA Canada Center, and that is the Islamic Society of North America, a front group, of course, for the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, this is a mosque. He and his family have always attended in Mississauga. And like I say, it's GTA-oriented, and it's west of Toronto. And I implore Toronto, please keep your GTAs away from where I am, because I'm way west of Toronto. But you guys are just getting a little too close to the Red Fox here. But in May of 2012, he was given a ticket, Jim, for parking on nearby Finfar Court rather than the mosque parking lot while attending Friday prayer services. Now, the bylaw states that parking is prohibited on the side street approximately one block from the mosque, and that is between 12 and 3 p.m. on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
But this coincides with the mosque's hours of prayer service on Islam's holiest days of the week. And this is according to Solomon's father. And hey, Jim,
Yep.
If you can guess the name of the father, you win a prize. I'll give you a hint. It starts with an M.
Mohammed?
Woo! Jim, ding, ding, ding. You win a prize. Now, what this character is saying is that this is our Sabbath day. The Christians have Sundays. The Jewish people have Saturdays. The Muslims have Friday. And this is from Mr. Khaled, super Mohammedan, Muhammad, the elder, saying this. It is at noontime. It's not in the evenings. It's not in the mornings. It is specific in the Quran that that's the time. It's like, oh, you know, buddy, suck it up, all right? You know, these bloody Muslims whinge and whine and complain all the time, Jim. Oh, Mr. Khaled and his son allege the parking bylaw is discriminatory and violates the Ontario Human Rights Code.
You know, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's, oh, Jim.
Well, I saw something the other day. You know, I try to avoid, you know, the major network news at night. You know, they come on at 6:30. And I saw something, you know, I'm starting to believe a little bit more and more now on what's out here. And now they got some iman. I think it was in Michigan, of course. You know, they have a very large Muslim population. And this guy wants to start restricting free speech because it's an insult to Islam. And I saw that, and I'm saying to myself, you know, I mean, you know, it's just like with anybody. If you don't like how we are, we didn't ask you to come here, but you're sure in the hell is free to leave. You know, and I just, you know, when I saw that, and I'm saying, well, you know, then I was looking at the comments, and it seems like more and more Americans and Canadians, hopefully, are starting to realize you got to resist this. And, of course, they're going to use...
Oh, yeah, it's getting nuts, Jim.
It's, you know, they're going to use their so-called religion of peace to, you know, use that in front of their political means to squash things, especially that sign that you posted. You know, please, you know, pay attention. Single women are not welcomed here.
You oh, know, yeah, that, yeah.
I saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if you guys are part of my Facebook page and you can find me, I'm Kel Fritzy. On Facebook, please look me up. And yes, in Europe, there is a sign, and it says, "Please be advised that an unaccompanied woman will not be accommodated. Thank you very much for your understanding." More or less along that line, eh, Jim?
Yep. And when I saw that,
and that is coming to a town near you. Like, holy smokes. I just don't know how, you know, like real men. Well, there's no such thing as a real politician. They're lifers looking for the pension. They don't care about us.
No, they don't. I mean, you can see it down here. I mean, it's all a dog and pony show down here, you know, with the IRS scandal that we have going on down here and every other scandal because... You know, I keep seeing a lot of people saying, well, impeach, impeach. You know, get over it, people. It's never going to happen. So just move along with it, you know. But the real threat is this disease that's coming in from the Middle East. And I couldn't believe when I read and saw it on TV that this latest one that Obama administration released, he said, and he told this lieutenant colonel, we'll see you in New York. You know, I mean, you know, I tell people,
oh,
you know.
Oh, yeah. That was,
you know, he was
Aditi. Yeah, yep, yep.
You know,
when he was released
just,
from the prison, yeah.
You know, and it's a shame. You know, he let go five of them at once for a deserter. The guy was a deserter. There's no spin about it. Like the media wants to put on it, and this administration wants to put on it. And, you know, and they have the gall to say they're living in mansions over there because, was it ABC News? One of their reporters, one of their talking heads was over there, and they actually went to the Al-Qaeda recruiting headquarters to try to
yeah.
get some information. You should have seen this place. So I can imagine what these clowns are living in over there in Qatar, you know? I mean, too bad the name doesn't fit, you know, the country, you know? But it's amazing. And, you know, people still, you know, I mean, they're slowly starting to wake up to this threat. You know, I mean, I dread the day if they should come here and say, well, we want to build a mosque here, or can we use your church or whatever. I'm just going to, you know, say, don't do it, people, because I already talked with a couple of people. Now, my church falls under the United Church of Christ, Reverend
yeah.
Wright, you know. And
yeah.
apparently the national leadership signed on with the Muslims through a organization, Interfaith, you know, baloney, as I like to call it, called Shoulder to Shoulder, where God is God no matter what. Well, you know, like I said, well, if that's the case, maybe, you know, the UCC should be strapping on the belt then, because that's what these Muslims are doing in the name of Allah, their moon god. And I brought it up to one of the chairs, as a matter of fact, the diaconate leader. I brought it up to him, and I told him, I says, I'd like to drop it. I'd like to get the UCC, United Church of Christ, off. I said, we shouldn't be affiliated with them. I mean, basically, they can't tell us what to do. We're basically independent. We just fall under them for insurance purposes for our pastor. But when I explained things to him, and I said, you can look it up, I said, we ought to drop the UCC. I said, they're so far left now, it's not funny anymore. But, you know, I mean, they come in, like I've said many times before, they come in like your best friend and then a couple of more, and then all of a sudden you look like, you know, you're crap to them. And, you know, like I said, you know, that it just gets me going at times. You know, I tell
it's
people.
It's got to be frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be frustrating when, you know, your very leaders are there, and this is how they're addressing the issue, and they do not look at the elephant in the room. And it's funny. I was actually speaking with Agador, who is actually in the chat room, and there was a gentleman that was speaking on the airwaves, and he is out of Europe, and he said, as the United States goes, so does the rest of us. And it's funny. And he sent that to me specifically because that is what I always say. And you know me being out of Canada, Jim. You always mm-hmm. know that I say that being a Canadian, I live in the best country on the planet. But I'm also next-door neighbors with the greatest nation on the planet. And I always say, and as the United States goes, so does the rest of us. And so Agador sent that to me, this quote, this person that was being interviewed, and I was flabbergasted. Finally, somebody is, you know, on the Cal Fritzi team and agreeing with me that that is exactly what will happen. If there is a demise of the United States, the rest of us will fall. And Agador is saying it was the author of American Boomerang in an interview with Glenn Beck, and he was from Australia. So thank you, Agador. Very much appreciated. But that's true, Jim, you know?
Well, I was watched one of that video clip of, I can't remember her last name, but Bridget.
Oh, yes, Gabrielle.
Yeah, Bridget Gabrielle. And she had a question asked by some Muslim woman. And and she broke it down. Like, you know, even if it's 10 to 15% that are causing the trouble in the world in the name of Islam, and Bridget said, that's still like the population of the United States where the Muslims have 1.2 to 1.6 billion. So you take anywhere from 10 to 15%, that's a hell of a lot of people causing all this trouble in the world.
I know.
And if you don't speak up against this type of injustice, this radicalism of Islam, even though it's not a religion, you're just as guilty. And, you know, Bridget did a nice job by putting her in her place because, you know, apparently she didn't want to renounce it, you know? So she's part of the problem. See you later. Screw. Go back to the sandbox country you came from.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, now...
Oh, yeah. It was brilliant what Bridget Gabriel did. And I do have it. I would love to bring it up so I can put it in the chat room for everybody. And let me see if I can't do that. And that is...
I'm on the phone. Hello?
Are you still there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, her name is, Saba Ahmed is her name, and I just found the link, and I do have it buried in one of my drop-down menus. But that was classic. That was the classic SmackDown, like you wouldn't believe. And, this is great. Saba Ahmed turned up on Fox News to defend her position.
Oh, she
did? Well, isn't that something? Yeah, on the John Hannity show. Like, wow. But, yeah, that was really disgusting. And I was speaking with various people about that, and... Unfortunately, but maybe fortunately, I gave Saba an hour on the Red Fox blogger to explain her position. I was very polite to her, but I said, you have to understand that we have reservations, and you have to be a little more elaborate in when you are talking about your hadiths and your khalids, like, what exactly do you mean by that?
And she probably couldn't really justify her position, I bet.
She could not. But listen, let's take a listen to the SmackDown, because you know what? That's exactly what Bridget Gabriel did. So let's let's listen to Saba. You know, this is what, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I love live radio, because things develop on the wheel of a dime. But this is brilliant. Oh my God, Jim.
Alaikum. Peace to you all. My name is Saba Ahmed. I'm a law student at American University. I am here to ask you a simple question. I know that we portray Islam and all Muslims as bad, but there's 1.8 billion Muslim followers of Islam. We have 8 million plus Muslim Americans in this country, and I don't see them represented here. But my question is, how can we fight an ideological war with weapons? How can we ever end this war? The jihadist ideology that you talk about, it's an ideology. How can you ever win this thing if you don't address it ideologically?
Frank, well, I'm glad to see you're representing Muslims in this company. I don't want to speak for anybody else but myself, but I think I can say safely that there isn't anybody on this panel who thinks that all Muslims are the problem.
Right.
I certainly don't. What we have been trying to help people understand is the ideology, to use your term, the doctrine, if you will, the program, agenda, I don't know what the best way to describe Sharia is, but that's the default line, I think, between Muslims who are decidedly the problem because they believe it is Allah's will, God's will, to impose that program on everybody else, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have lots of Muslims who don't follow that program, may not even know what it's about, don't speak Arabic, aren't imbued with the traditions of the faith as out of Saudi Arabia, for example, and they are not necessarily the problem, at least not yet. But what makes these policy things so important, it seems to me, and why it is imperative that we understand it, is not just that we don't know that we're fighting an ideological war against people who are absolutely convinced of the supremacy of their ideology. But because, as a practical matter, we're engaged in a situation that is becoming vastly worse, in part because we keep embracing people who are imbued with that ideology. This is why I come back to this idea of legitimating and engaging and funding and arming the Muslim Brotherhood. These are exponents of Sharia. It is part of their agenda very explicitly to impose it, as I say, on everyone else. So I thank you for the question, and I think we absolutely do need to deal with this as an ideological war, at least in part, or at least understand that the ideology that is driving the violent jihad on the one hand, and every bit as importantly, what the Muslim Brotherhood calls the civilization jihad on the other. Many in the government, if they're thinking about this at all, are focused on the sort of dangling, shiny object, dangerous as it is, of violent jihad. But they're missing entirely that other piece that I talked about in connection with Wilma Abedin and others, which is the subversion, the not so much nonviolent form of jihad as the pre-violent form of jihad, with which they hope ultimately to take us down just as surely as the others who embrace violent jihad seek to do. But at the end of the day, it is something that brings them together, whether it's ISIS, whether it's the Taliban, whether it's Al-Qaeda, whether it's the Muslim Brotherhood, whether it's dozens of others, is Sharia. And we do have to get that straight.
Yeah. Great.
Okay, I'm just going to pause it there. The long version there, Jim, and that was Frank Gaffney speaking. Mm-hmm. And it's a four-person panel. And Frank Gaffney, I thought he was rather polite with our dear little Saba. But in a few moments, I'm going to play more of that. And Bridget Gabriel is going to tear Saba a new strip. And believe me, she deserves it because I gave Saba so much time on the Red Fox blogger, you know, last year. And I was put, like I say, I was polite, but she's kind of like, you know, crazy. What do you think,
hey,
Jim?
Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to hang up my phone. I'm on my cell phone right now. I'm on 617.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, my wife had to use the phone, so.
There you go.
Let her,
but yeah,
let her have
yeah,
the landline.
Yeah.
I'll use my cell phone. Yeah, because I like what Bridget said, though, when you play that tape. I mean, she was so right on. I mean, stuck in my head. And
oh,
you know.
Yeah. I'm going to relish that, and I'm going to let the listeners, you know, sit in anticipation of what Bridget Gabriel has to say. But, Jim, you're right. Like, this woman is running amok in the United States. I mean, I don't know. Where is she? She's Washington-based, Saba. Oh, God. You know what? I don't even want to pronounce her entire name. I know how to pronounce it. I forget it. I tend to forget
just don't
her
give
name.
It a,
you know.
Yeah, just don't give it a notoriety. It's just like that, was it, Pam Geller?
Oh,
you know,
I
see what she's doing. And, you know, it's amazing because I think she said, I think one time I read she wants to get some of the buses here in Boston to have that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, put,
oh, she's
put
all,
some of those,
she's wanting to take down Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer, and she wants to do this, that, and the other thing. She is trying to convince us that she would be an effective federal politician in Congress. Like, what? Mm-hmm. This woman is nutsoid.
Yeah, because, I mean, they take out those billboards like that, you know, and figure, well, you know, she's got a death wish, you know. But, you know, I hope nothing happens to her. I just hope nothing happens to her. But I wouldn't be surprised, you know, somebody someday, you know, when she least expects it, you know, because that's the way they are. I mean, you know, we see it every day. I really haven't been to, like, you know, Bare Naked Islam. I haven't really read the Clarion report lately because my computer screwed up because it says plugged in, whatever that means, because I can't get your, you know, I have to call to hear what you're saying because I can't even get you on my computer. I got to figure this out, what's wrong with it. And I can't see what's being said in the chat room and everything. So I get this thing called
block. I know, and that drives you crazy. Yeah, because you try to get to the chat room, and they just won't cooperate with you.
So, but you know, overall, yeah, I mean, you know, seeing what's happening, it's like, you know, when I was up in Maine the other day, you know, on the gun range up there, I'm saying, geez, you know. I think I'm going to do this a little bit more often up here because you never know. And this one guy that was with me, you know, he says, yeah, he says, we're ready. And I says, yeah, I says, these damn Muslims. I says, you know, Maine's got a big population of the Somalis. And I just still can't figure that out. Why do you come from a heck of a hellhole of a country like that and go up to Maine, especially in the wintertime, you know? But, you know, I mean, they just.
Well, you're
just
dealing
like
with it in Boston as well.
Yeah, but it's really not on a great – well, it is a big scale, but, you know, so far they've been quiet. They haven't been running around demanding this, wanting that so far.
Oh,
you know, so far
yeah.
They've been quiet. You know, I mean, because like I said, when the the two terrorists there that, you know, blew, you know,
oh, the
bomb
Boston
off,
Marathon bombers?
Yeah, the Marathon, because, yeah. You know, they said the Cambridge Mosque kicked them out because they were too radical and – you know, but still, you know, just can't trust them anymore, you know?
No, you can't. I can't trust a Muslim as far as I can toss him. And even if he was a midget, I wouldn't enter him in a midget tossing contest. And I'm sorry, folks, we're not politically correct here. But I think that even for the mosque to say that, but that mosque was Muslim Brotherhood funded. And that's the mosque that these two brothers attended. And they were there, and they were in attendance. And the one brother, the older brother, was saying that you guys are way too sedate, and you're not doing enough to help with the caliphate. And this is enough. And, well, you know, the imam got a little nervous because you know what happens when imams get nervous. That means that the government is going to be breathing down their necks.
Yeah,
and they are going to defund them as a protected religious status. That's exactly what happened. It's not because imam didn't disagree. It's just that the imam was worried that he was going to blow the cover.
Well, it's just like, you know, I don't know if you heard it up there, but, you know, the case against the sole surviving brother is he's hoping that it'll be moved down to Washington, D.C., because they say he can't get a fair trial here in Massachusetts.
Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yep, and right now the judge is taking it under consideration, and hopefully the judge will have common sense and keep it here where the crime was committed, where this, you know, people were murdered, and because they did a poll survey, and they said like 47% of the people in Washington, D.C. really haven't been following this. We're up here in the New England region anyway. You know, it's only like about 54 to 56% that have been still following it. And I'm surprised it's not more. The defense attorneys, they want to move it out of the state of Massachusetts, which isn't fair. You know, the guy committed the crime here. It's too bad that people pay attention. And that's the way it is. You know, even our justice system is tiptoeing around anything that has to do with Islam or jihad or whatever else, you know. It's an insult. It's a slap in the face to a law-abiding citizen, you know, to have this happen. You know, it's got to be here in Massachusetts, and that's it.
You guys deal with pretty wiggy stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. If it's not politicians, I don't know. Massachusetts seems to attract a lot of wickedness going on there. And like, I don't want to single out the Kennedy family, but...
Well, who else, you know? Well, it's just like, was it last year or 2 years ago? They had a couple of Muslim students. I think they were from Northeastern University. They got caught out at the Quabbin Reservoir, like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, we just wanted to see it. Remember that? And nothing ever became of it. I don't even think they even went to court for trespassing charges. You know, they just turned a blind eye to it. It's just like, well, I think if he said it, but...
Come on, Jim. Come on. You know, they were just wandering around.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to, you know, they were students. Gee.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't doing anything wrong in the middle of the fucking night. Like,
You know, and that's our main water supply, the Quabbin Reservoir. You know, that's where the eastern part of Massachusetts, you know, that's our drinking water and everything else. And like I said, everybody's tiptoeing around Muslims. And we shouldn't be. We should not have to walk gently, but we shouldn't have to walk arrogantly either. We just tell them, look, you don't like what's happening here. You think you're going to change something with us? Get out. Just leave. Go back home. You, like I said, you weren't asked to come here, but you're free to leave if you don't like it. But they're not going to leave, and they're going to claim, as you said it, I've said it, various others at times, religious discrimination. And then it's not a religion. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Jim, that's exactly it. It is not a religion. And you know what? Let's move into what Bridget Gabrielle had to say to our dear little friend, Saba. Here.
Oh, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the money shot. And Bridget Gabrielle, hat tip to you. And Jim, here we go.
Yep.
Great question. I am so glad you're here, and I am so glad you brought that up because it gives us an opportunity to answer. What I find so amazing is since the beginning of this panel, which we are here about Benghazi attack against our people, not one person mentioned Muslims. We are here against Islam, or we're launching war against Muslims. We are here to discuss how 4 Americans died and what our government is doing. We were not here to bash Muslims. You were the one who brought up the issue about most Muslims, not us. And since you brought it up, allow me to elaborate with my answer. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world today. Of course not all of them are radicals. The majority of them are peaceful people. The radicals are estimated to be between 15 to 25% according to all intelligence services around the world. That leaves 75% of them peaceful people. But when you look at 15 to 25% of the world Muslim population, you're looking at 180 million to 300 million people dedicated to the destruction of Western civilization. That is as big as the United States. So why should we worry about the radical 15 to 25%? Because it is the radicals that kill. Because it is the radicals that behead and massacre. When you look throughout history, when you look at all the lessons of history, most Germans were peaceful. Yet the Nazis drove the agenda. And as a result, 60 million people died, almost 14 million in concentration camps, 6 million were Jews. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you look at Russia, most Russians were peaceful as well. Yet the Russians were able to kill 20 million people. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you look at China, for example, most Chinese were peaceful as well. Yet the Chinese were able to kill 70 million people. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you look at Japan prior to World War II, most Japanese were peaceful as well. Yet Japan was able to butcher its way across Southeast Asia, killing 12 million people, mostly killed with bayonets and shovels. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. On September 11th in the United States, we had 2.3 million Arab Muslims living in the United States. It took 19 hijackers, 19 radicals, to bring America down to its knees, destroy the World Trade Center, attack the Pentagon, and kill almost 3,000 Americans that day. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. So for all our powers of reasons and us talking about moderate and peaceful Muslims, I'm glad you're here. But where are the others speaking out? And since you are the only Muslim representative...
Just pause that there, and of course that was Gabrielle responding. What's that, Jim?
She was so right on with that, with her comments on
that.
Oh,
God, yeah.
Something like that should be played over and over again, but, you know, you can't get it on
mainstream
media.
I'm going to take this to Audacity and put it to an MP3 and send it to all my friends. Because that was the best smackdown I have ever heard.
Yep. You know, you state truth, you know, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to respond, you know. And it's like I said, you know, I've you know, written comments out there, like, you know, especially aimed at here in the States, that, like, the gay lesbian movement, you people ought to be awake and paying attention to this Muslim
movement they're not.
Coming into America. Because you're going to be strung up and hung from a crane like they do in Iran. And everywhere else, hung, you're going to be killed.
Yeah, they're the first ones that will be hanging from the cranes. Exactly. Bingo.
Then you're going to have, like, the women's movement leaders, like the National Organization of Women, they're going to be stomped on. And yet then, like I said, you know, like the gay lesbian movements, Christians are bad, they're evil. We're not stringing them up. We're not going to blow you up. You know, that's what they like to say. You know, I mean, pay attention. Because, like I said, I mean, look what they've done. I mean, they've strung up people in Iran on cranes because they're gay. I mean, there was one out there today, a little 13-year-old girl, they're stringing her up because she didn't like her husband, that prearranged marriage stuff that they do. I mean, how sick is that? A 13-year-old little
girl. That's really,
girl.
Yeah, that's evil. That's beyond sick. It's just unadulterated evil,
yep.
Jim.
You know, and then they want to practice it here in the States or in Canada. I mean, come on, wake up, everybody.
It was funny.
Like,
I was on
a
radio show a few days ago, and they brought up about that. His name was, I can't remember his name. It started with an M, Jim. Try to guess the name, Jim.
Michael?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
They almost have the same mother and father.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. But, yeah, this guy was upset with his wife because... She filed a complaint against him, and this was in one of the New England states, I believe. I really should bring up this story because I'm doing an injustice to my listeners doing this, but I'm speaking off the top of my head. But, you know, we really don't need the minutiae of the background. All we need to know is that there was a Muslim in the United States, and he was mad at his wife, and he beheaded her in the office of their co-joined television station, which was called Bridges TV. Yeah, this guy created this cable channel because he wanted to ensure the American public that Islam is compatible with the West and that we can all coexist. But his wife got a little out of hand. He didn't like it, and so he beheaded her, and, you know, Bob's your uncle.
Well, there was another one. I think it was in Kansas, and the guy took a punch to his wife's head. Was that? It was in, you know, Kansas, you know, well, my religion, you know, I can do that. It's part of my religion. You know, it's just like, and I tell people, I says, you know, it's one good thing about Islam, what I would like, you know, is they, I said it jokingly now, mind you. I said, well, if you're tired of your marriage, you can go to your wife. I divorce you. I divorce you. I divorce you. Say it three times and you're divorced.
Yeah.
I mean, how sad
is that?
Yeah,
I think
that's
Dalek or something. I'm not too sure. I don't have my cheat sheet in front of me. But, absolutely,
and, you know,
Jim.
These people want to spread that crap into our way of life. And, you know, like I said, you know, people are still walking on eggshells around these people. I mean, I've come to the realization is that the only way you're going to do it, you're going to confront them. I mean, where I live, you know, I'm seeing a little bit more, like, you know, I drive through this other city, I see a little bit more, you know, women wearing their hijabs, pushing their, you know, strollers around the park I go to.
Oh, yeah,
I see
the baby
families
strollers,
going up
yeah.
There. You know, and, you know, I mean, live your life, enjoy it and everything, but don't force your crap on my way of life. Don't tell me I'm an infidel because I don't believe in your moon god. But this is what I'm afraid of, you know? People, you know, I just
wish
more and more Canadians and Americans would sit down and realize this. You know, I mean, they probably
Well, it's being realized in, it's certainly being realized in the UK in particular. There is yet another national group that has been newly formed, and that is the British Patriotic Alliance. That's Sonny and Glenn. And it is, we need more groups. We need to get national. We need to get national in our own countries. Like, I don't think Canada is doing nearly enough. The United States, they're really making inroads. You guys have the Tea Party, and you have the Operation American Spring going on. Like, wow, that is amazing to me. And I love Bigfoot because he is a overseer of the Operation American Spring.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean...
Oh, Jim?
You know,
yeah,
they,
go ahead.
They come in, and, you know, like I said, people tiptoeing around, and then when you stand up to them or you start questioning, they throw out religious discrimination, and then, of course, the lamestream media here, they side with them. You know, the story is so slanted. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, I wish we all could get along, you know, but, you know, these people are determined for the last, what, 1,400-plus years to destroy everything and anybody who doesn't worship and believe in what they do, you know. And then, you know, it's sad, but, you know, but it's nice though when I'm out there and I see more and more people starting to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, you know. I mean, so far, like I said, in here in the Boston area, you know, nothing is, you know, they haven't been marching or demanding anything. You know, well, we want the lights off at this time because it affects our religious beliefs or what have you. Because, I mean,
God.
Like I said, some of the things, like, you know, like you told me the last time we chatted, up in Toronto, they wanted to build their own compound for Muslims only. I mean, you know, I mean, that's discriminatory. You know, I mean, but yet then they can do it because, oh, it's their religious beliefs. Well, if I wanted to do it, in the name of my faith and my religion, I would be ostracized. I would be condemned. But, you know, they can't get away. I just don't understand it. With why people think, oh, these poor people, they're not poor people. they're far from it. They're determined. They got money, and they can do what they want. And it's a shame. You know, I mean, they're only making it worse for themselves by shoving it onto everybody else who goes one way or the other. If you're a Jew, Christian, most people, you know, just leave, you know, keep your religion, live peacefully amongst us, everything will be fine. But they don't want to. Once they see that little opening, then they make them, then they pounce.
Well, you know, they do pounce. They reach a certain percentage and they start banging the drums. We're seeing that in the UK, of course. Thus the English Defense League and the British Patriot Alliance. We are seeing it in the United States with the Operation American Spring and the Tea Party movement. We are seeing a little bit of action in Canada, and that is with our respective provincial governments, not necessarily Ontario because we are under a Liberal government, but certainly our federal government is making noises about that and revamping the immigrant handbook, for example. But we are seeing nuances going on, and it's unfortunate, though, that it's not necessarily our governments that are not taking action. Unfortunately, our governments are not taking action, and it's up to us, the people, to start our own grassroots apolitical organizations and get the attention, get the ear of the government. And Vorpelbite always says something very, very salient, and I agree with Vorp. Every single time he says this, Jim, is that arm yourself and get the pantry stocked, because it's going to be a very uneasy ride.
It's going to be ugly. It's just like, you know, it was a couple of days ago at work, one of my buddies was telling me, he says, oh, man, he says, did you see the news flaws? He says, they made a raid and, you know, they busted up one of these compounds that they have here. I said, that's old news. I says they had them out in Oregon and they shut them down. I says these people are training. I says, they got their AKs. They got their AR-15s. I mean, they probably got them through, you know, legal means, you know, become a citizen, you know, living here, born and raised here. And the worst ones are the converts. You know, our own people, you know, converting to that, as you can see, you know, I mean, the damage that they can do, the ins and outs, and that they know of how to play with the law and everything. And I told people, I said, yeah, they got compounds down in Georgia, Oregon. And I says, but if they were known, if they knew that they were being watched by the feds, the next thing you know it, you know, they're going to start taking the government to court because they're infringing upon their religious rights under the First Amendment that we have here. You know, like I said more than once on your show, many years back, the late Pope John Paul had that big meeting, and he says, in one email says, we're going to use your own freedoms against you. You know, and it's...
Oh, yeah.
And it's happening.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Sweden. Look at Sweden, what's happening there.
Oh, Sweden is a mess. Yeah.
And Denmark now is starting to wake up and putting the hammer down on them, thankfully. And, I mean, was it Marseille, France? You can't even walk down those streets. And I think it was up in just on the outskirts of Dearborn, Michigan. They want to have Sharia patrols. So when somebody says, what's that mean? One of the guys at work.
Yeah.
I says,
oh,
you
yes.
know, if you want
to... They're emulating the United Kingdom with the Sharia patrolled zones. And the United Kingdom, though, fortunately, is stepping down on that, and that they're quashing these Sharia zone, self-proclaimed Sharia zones, which is kind of reassuring. But I'm still rather wary of David Cameron, you know, at the helm. He is technically a conservative, but he's also the same one that stood up and said that when these two Muslims slaughtered Lee Rigby, he was up on the podium the very next morning saying this had nothing to do with Islam, when Adibology actually was speaking into a video camera saying this has everything to do with Islam. Like, so our politicians are virtually useless to us.
Oh yeah, it's just like, you know, when the two bombers here in Boston, when they did that, one of them said, you know, it's because of, you know, you people are killing Muslims. Well, I mean, before this country, this continent, Canada and the United States was even founded, they were slaughtering each other. I mean, you know, I mean, how come you're attacking us and saying we killed more Muslims? We haven't killed Muslims like they're killing each other today. I mean, let's face it, Iraq was a mess. Afghanistan's a mess. But, you know, look at the killings they have perpetrated since the camel jockey there, Mohammed, came along with this idea of a peaceful religion, you know? And they're still killing each other.
It's shameful, the complete and utter denial of our elected officials. And It really bothers me because they work for us. We elect them in, and they work for us. They are our employees. They do not go to Parliament Hill, Queen's Park, the Congress, the State Senate, and sit there and wax eloquence because they just got a vote. They have to be reminded every single day that they work for us. We elected them, and they are sitting there because we entrust them to protect Canadian interests, UK interests, Australian interests, United States interests. And we have to let them know that enough is enough. And one thing that I am doing, Jim, is my letter-writing campaign, and Michelle Walsh and Eric Brousseau of Canada and Vlad Tepes of Canada is helping me get this off the ground. It may take me a week or two to get my website up, but ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm proposing, that you literally put pen to paper, not an email, because they get put in the G file. You sit down at your desk or, you know, over your kitchen counter or on a little pad, you know, your notepad, while you're lying in bed watching a rerun of Friends, I don't care, whatever it is, you know, but just write it down, physically write down that you say that you are sick and tired of certain things going on. But my letter-writing campaign involves Islam. Everybody knows that. I want you guys to sit down and say to your local politician, your national politician, your political organization, your group, and say, we demand that Islam be readdressed and that it loses its holding as a protected religious status. And you put it in an envelope and you mail it. And I know it's a lot of work, but you know what? It will inundate their offices, if you guys can do this. If you help me with this, I will be forever grateful. Michelle Walsh inspired me, and I am carrying forth the message. We need to let our politicians know that we will no longer tolerate Islam as a protected religious status, because we know it's not. It is a political ideology, and it does not deserve funding.
Any special treatment, you know?
That's right, Jim. And I was speaking with NoA90 of Reactionary Speaks Network last week about this, and he came up with something even better. And Agador, thank you for reminding me, because Agador and NoA, they both came up with a brilliant idea. Send it registered mail. Because they have
to sign for it. Yep.
That's right. And if they sign for it, they're going to be wanting to open it and see exactly
what's
inside that registered letter. Exactly. What do you think, Jim?
That's a good idea. I mean, you know, like you said, it goes email. I mean, they probably have too much email, and they look at it this way, well, nobody uses the post office system anymore. Nobody uses the postal system. Do it.
Yeah.
It's going to keep people employed, you know, the post office busy. And all of a sudden, they're getting all this mail. They're going to have to respond one way or another, you know, because I get my correspondence from my congressman. It's usually via email, all except for Veterans Day. And, yeah, that's it. He sends a form letter, you know, thank you for your service to, you know, to our country, you know, standard BS. But that's one way, you know, I mean, you know, it's just like, what was it, Nixon, when he was president, of course, this is way before all this technology we have today. Nixon got on TV one time, and he asked for the silent majority to support him, I forget what it was, and the post office couldn't keep, the Washington, D.C. post office couldn't keep up with the mail. I mean, they were inundated with it. But they were back in Nixon. I can't remember what that was. But, you know, it does work, you know. You know, you get four or five people from one little street sitting down over coffee. You write one letter, basically all saying the same. and their staff looks at it, wow, this is from Main Street, this is from Joe Blow, Mary, and a little lamb here, cooking here. We better answer these people, you know? And then when they answer, when they send it back to you, you do a follow-up. Make them work, you know, because like you said, they work for us. Your politicians up there, my politicians down here, they work for me. We're a republic. We sent them down here to do our job. Well, you better damn well be listening to us, you know?
And Agador from the chat room is thanking you because he forgot about that, because that was before Watergate. And Agador, you're welcome.
Yeah, see, I can't see anything in the chat room.
I know, and that drives me nuts because the chat room is quite active, but your comments are really activating people. But, you know, something else, too, and I don't want to single people out, but I am very, very proud of Wild Bill for America, for example, and that he started the Tea Team parties in the United States. And that is exactly what Jim is focusing on, is that you sit down with, you know, maybe your next-door neighbor or that neighbor down the street, and you sit around the kitchen table, and you talk, and you get together, and you engage and let your local politicians know that you're not going to put up with it. I'm also very, very proud of Bigfoot and moving forward, that they are constantly giving us reports on what is going on with the Operation American Spring. You guys know that I'm a Canadian, and unfortunately I can't be down there and engage in these activities, but you know what? You inspire me. You inspire my Canadian listeners. You inspire my Australian and UK listeners, because America is taking it back. Because I always say, and Agador said this to me a long time ago, in the chat as it goes, as America falls, so does the rest of us. We have to get rid of Obama. Don't even think of impeaching him. No, you get him arrested. Arrest him. Arrest him. Have him walk out of that White House, your people's house, in handcuffs, because enough is enough. He has destabilized the entire Middle East, and he is destabilizing Canada, the UK, the United States, Australia, everywhere the span goes. Everything tarnishes.
I mean, look what he's done to our southern border.
Holy smokes. You know what?
That isn't impeachable. I mean, here it is. All of a sudden, you've got 60,000 little kids all of a sudden. It's like Mexico held on to them, and Obama gave
Annie,
the phone
Annie,
call.
Annie, call in. Oh, my
Let
gosh.
Let them move.
I was on an Annie show today, and she is Southern Sense, is conservative sense, and I was part of her panel today. And that topic came up, and no offense, but what the fox is that?
You know, I mean, I keep saying it. I mean, I feel so bad for those little kids coming over the border, but you know, in a roundabout way, those countries down there, they haven't evolved. You know, they were there before Canada and the United States was discovered. They were down there, but because of tribal differences, the Mayans, the Aztecs going at each other, and whatever other tribes they have, it's just like Islam. They haven't evolved to catch up to be a civilized nation or a civilized people. You know, I mean, but to see all those little kids, it is a heartache. And I said, well, since they don't know where the parents are, because they have illegal relatives here in this country, I say scoop them up. Put them in orphanages, teach them the American way of life. It, basically, you know, it might sound off the wall, but erase their memories of what they left and teach them the American way, learn to read, write, and speak English properly, become a good citizen, and serve this country one way or another. I mean, this has gone overboard. Like I said, you know, I see, like, all these sites out there, oh, we've got to impeach Obama. Okay, we need the Senate. You know, the Republicans have to have the Senate. Even still, they won't impeach him because you've got Boehner still Speaker of the House. He's not going to do it.
Oh, yeah, you want to impeach. Yeah, you guys really want to go about impeaching a black dude, a Muslim sitting in the White House? Like, oh, I know. That's what I mean. Like, don't even go with impeachment. And it's funny, Bigfoot brought up a really interesting point in that he said that he was at an OAS meeting today, and they were wondering who would have the authority to arrest the president. And, Jim, that is really interesting. Like, who would have the authority to arrest the president, a sitting president, which I think should happen? Would it be, like, he's the commander-in-chief, and my condolences to you guys.
I believe it. I mean, I'm not up to date on my civics history and everything, but I still say that would probably have to go through the House of Representatives and the Senate, and then they would vote on it, and, you know, you will be taken out, and that's all there is to it, you know? But like I said, you know, it won't happen because we don't want to give the world the impression that we're, quote, a racist country because, oh, he's the first black president, you know, and I keep telling people, don't forget, his mother was white, you know, and the more was it Wanda Sykes, the comedian? My wife heard us say something, I'm trying to remember it, that the more he keeps screwing up, the more I keep seeing the white side of him now.
Oh, yeah.
She said something like that the other day, you know, my wife was telling me about it, but, you know, the bottom line is, everybody looks at him as a black man, you know, which, you know, he is. But yet then, you know, he's got white. But like I said, if something like that, you know, the impeachment, okay, it's racist. Well, look at the mess he's caused in this country by his executive orders and all his underlings, what they have done. I mean, there was a guy on today on Neil Cavuto, coal industry executive, and now we're going to be screwed. I mean, there's going to be power shortages in this country because the EPA, through his directives, are going to be closing them down if they don't meet certain standards, which, you know, they have. They've been trying and fighting, but Obama wants to do away with everything. But like you asked, who would arrest him? Nobody.
I know. And you know what? I have one of my dearest friends here. She is my cohort. She is my counterpart. And she is the most sensible person I know because she is Southern sense and she is conservative sense. And Annie, hello.
Oh, you are so full of shit. I couldn't resist.
Hey, I can bullshit my way through anything, babe.
Right now I need a shovel.
And Jim, you must be warned that when Annie and I get together, we kind of get into a little bit of trouble.
You don't want the two of us in a bar together.
Yes, you do. We're the floor show.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Liberals beware.
You better believe it. Yeah, we'll be in the bar and we'll have our shots and then we'll be walking down the road arm in arm going, "Fuck you, Mexicans and liberals." Oh, yep. You don't want to really leave Annie and me alone to our own devices because we tend to get in trouble. But Annie, welcome, and say hi to Jim from Boston.
Yeah, Jim from Boston. I got a question. Where were you back in between 84 and 86 in Boston? Because I was the lone voice up there when I lived up there for 2 years.
I was still here. what show were you on that?
No. I was working for American Express. But oh my goodness, the second I went and talked to anyone, and they would hear number one the New York dialect, and number two they would hear the conservative view. Oh my goodness, I would get cold shoulder after cold shoulder. Oh man, is that a frigid town?
You know, a lot of people talk conservative, but like you said, we're a funny breed up here. You know, we're a funny breed up here in Massachusetts. You know, when Ted Kennedy always got reelected, well, I didn't vote for him. Well, who the hell did they got him back in again? You know, you hit that nail right on the head on that. You know, but we are a funny breed. You know, when it comes to politicking.
It's funny because here he was dying, and you knew he was dying, so why the heck did you end up reelecting him?
Because a lot of people are brain dead up here. That's what it is.
A dead man can run and win. Oh, my goodness.
I remember that.
Oh,
you poor beleaguered Americans. You know, I have a really, really big house in Canada, and it's on a really nice lake, and the fishing is great. Please feel free to come up here and vacate, okay?
Only when there's no snow.
And the polar bears are in hibernation.
Oh, man.
No, I'm serious, though, Annie. That is a really, really salient point that you bring up. And Jim, like, it's true. Like, how the hell do you guys, get up in the morning some days?
I have to ask myself that when I look at the papers here. I say, oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I was watching here over on Fox News, and Jerry Rivers, a.k.a. Geraldo Rivera, in his opening statement, did blame Obama for this last illegal immigration wave of the 47,000 alleged kids. But then he turns around and backtracks on the whole dang thing. You know, anyone who thinks that man is a Republican or a Libertarian, he is a dyed-in-the-wool progressive statist. Fox News says they're fair and balanced. That's the other end of the spectrum. And I'm starting to wonder about whether or not just how fair and balanced they are. I'm getting the barf bag out.
I think the only thing fair and balanced on Fox News these days is Red Eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's crazy. It is absolutely, absolutely crazy. And as we were talking earlier, this immigration wave is part of an entire plan. It's not just one part. It starts with the IRS. It starts with Fast and Furious. It starts long before Obama even came into office. And everything is now, Clavin and Pivot, starting to fall into place. And
absolutely. And you know what? I'm flabbergasted by what's going on with the lamestream media, especially in the United States. And I think somebody has a comment that she would like to share with that, and that is our Sue from New Mexico. And hi, Sue.
Hey, hi, Kel. And
hey,
Kim, hello. Great
hey,
show. And Annie, I loved your show today.
Oh, thank
awesome.
You.
I just wanted to answer a question you had. The House Sergeant of Arms can arrest the president. So everyone write, email, call. But that is who can legally arrest the president.
I thought it was the House. It is the House, right?
Yes, it's the Sergeant of Arms. He's the one who has the authority to arrest the president.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway, I just, you know, I'll go back to listening. But I just wanted to answer that question. It's going around Twitter to contact him and tell him to arrest the president. Of course, he's got to get Boehner and, you know, the rest of them on board.
Oh,
and they're not
yeah.
going to do anything until the election because they're a bunch of, you know, what. But anyway, carry on with your show. And just God bless everyone.
Oh, God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, Becca. Sue. And thank you so, so very much for that. And so there we go. We know where to go to get this guy arrested. We go to the house.
And that'll be a cold day in hell, unfortunately.
Yep.
Yeah,
look,
I don't think. Well,
no,
yeah, you
run.
Know what? Yeah, nothing's going to happen at this point because your guys' interim elections aren't coming up until November, and that frightens me, actually. I'm very disappointed that this guy is going to go on unfettered until November. And but, Sue, thank you for that, putting that forward. And ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. You do have a voice. You do, but you know what? You know what, Annie and Jim? It's not only that we have a voice, it is that we have a responsibility. And Jim, I think that you would certainly agree with that.
Oh yeah, I mean, one man's voice is one man's act of courage is, you know, it's all it takes, and everybody else will jump on.
Amen to that. Yeah, and all it does is take
Amen.
Away voice.
Well, Kel, I'm going to cut and run on you.
Oh, you have to take the dog out?
I got
to
do.
Or do
yep.
you have to do
oh,
dishes?
So I got to take the dog out tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Jim, you
I'll
have
be in touch.
Been missed. You have been missed on the RSB Friday shows, my dear man, just to let you know. And
right,
every
well.
Time you come on, everybody's ears perk up because you are such an asset and a wonderful contributor to the program. So, Jim,
well,
please don't be a stranger.
I'm going to start doing my homework, too, a little bit more, you know, so I can have something to fire on. You
All
know?
Right.
So, other than
you
that, I'll let you go, Sue. It was nice saying hello to you again. And everybody out there, have a good night. And like I said, resist this evil of Islam. Okay.
You got
good
it,
everyone.
Jim. I'll be talking
okay.
with you soon. You
okay,
have
good night,
a great
everyone.
Night.
Thanks, you too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to the RSB Friday program, Jim is a regular contributor to it, and I am grateful to him spending his time with me. He is a wonderful man. He knows a whole lot about the American Constitution and, of course, Islam and Sharia law. And he has held me in comfort many a night when I've had to deal with issues like I deal with. But you know what? I have Annie here. And hey Annie, tell us
yes,
about,
ma'am.
We're wrapping up in about 5 minutes, but tell us about your show, and you are taking it into a bit of a different direction.
Yeah, I can't officially say anything yet because we're going to run a test program at the beginning of July, and if all goes well, then it'll launch in mid-July, and we'll end up with a major nationwide news media area, and don't, folks, it's not Glenn Beck or anything like that, not that big, but a show that's often quoted on other websites. And matter of fact, I was up on Twitter last night, and I was surprised articles from the site were popping up all over the place, and I said, wow, I'm going to be part of this. So it's going, we're going. The only thing I'm going to have to learn to deal with is now doing hard breaks for commercials, because anyone that listens to the show knows that we don't do them. Now we will.
Yeah.
So we just have to deal with that. But it'll be like maybe four during the show. And a two-hour show, that's not a lot. So I think I'm just going to have to learn how to do that, time myself.
Oh, that's okay. You will get it. Annie? I know that you will, and the only thing I'm worried about is that if I come on board, it'll be nothing but it. creating havoc.
No, but what we did today with that panel today went absolutely awesome, so I'm going to invite all four of you guys back and do that at least twice a month, do a wrap-up of all the events that occurred over the previous 2 weeks, and because sometimes
absolutely.
I get... I get guests on, and then something breaks right smack in the middle of all of it, and you don't have time to bring whatever broke on, and you still want to talk about it. And I still want to get all that information out there to everyone listening.
And you know what? We barely broke the surface, Thomas and Sarge, today. And ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, Annie is Southern Sense, is Conservative Sense, and you can hear her right here on Blog Talk Radio, Tuesdays and Fridays, afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And please tune in, because this lady is phenomenal. But yeah, Annie, we barely got we barely scratched the surface on the panel today.
No, it's funny, because I did stretch the show down to 2 hours, and I had notes galore, and I had a stack of, you know, printouts and different articles, and I just sat back and just let you guys go, and it was fun. It was absolute fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, and boy, guys, if you didn't catch it live, listen in the archives, because there was one panelist who was totally on fire, and that was Sarge. And believe me, he had a hell of a lot to say, and you're going to love his voice. I hope that I speak with him again, Annie, because that was a real treat today. This man has the passion. He really, really loves the United States of America, and he really, truly understands the counter-jihadist movement. And, oh, boy, I hope I speak with him again. I'm getting all giggly.
I'm going to be calling Sarge over the weekend and telling him what my plans are and telling him to join us, you know, twice a month. You know, I'll set up the dates, you know, either it'll be the first and third or the second and fourth Friday of each month, and have the four of you on. Thomas has his own radio show also, True Radio, and he has a lot of guest hosts on there also. And I think Tuesday he's got a special guest.
Thomas, True Radio is fantastic, yes.
Yeah, and he has a definite passion. He's more Christian conservative than, you know, a lot of people think, and I think Christianity is a major factor in a lot of our debates and arguments. If you want to counter Islam...
We need to get back to our roots, and we need to understand that we follow the golden rule, and we follow our... We follow man-made law that was based on Judeo-Christian principles, the golden rule, of course. And there is an entity out there, ladies and gentlemen, called Islam, that does not follow the golden rule and will defy our man-made laws. It's because of the Magna Carta that we are a civilization and we're civilized. Islam will not recognize that. Annie is totally on board with me with that, aren't you, Annie?
I would say they're God-given laws if you go back to the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And how many of the Ten Commandments does Islam violate?
All 10.
I would say just about every last one of them. You know,
yep.
Thou shalt love no God but your God. And you can go straight on down the list. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Islam is completely against that. And if you go through the Episcopal service or any other Christian service, you know, those are the first two and greatest commandments of all. After that,
all else
falls in place. And
Islam violates
the first two commandments. So
how can you claim to be
a religion of God if you violate the very commandments that were given prior to even Islam being created? If you say you are the children of Abraham
and
Isaac, they claim to be the children of Abraham and Isaac, and they're not. If
this
they
would
fail
be
to find
such a topic in itself. Oh, Annie, can you please get together with me and we can dissect this, because it is very important to the listeners, and I think we left them piqued with interest, Annie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we left them, they're going to want to pick up on this with us. I think that you and I should definitely get together and talk about this. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Kel and Annie, and we are going to blow your minds. Oh, and it's don't forget, it's going to be the Kel and Annie Comedy Central.
Comedy Hour.
Oh, yeah, you can't, yeah, you guys, if you put me and Annie in the same room, we kind of drink. And we
Annie
walk down the street arm in arm, creating havoc.
I seem to have that
terrible.
Affected a lot of people.
I didn't think so. I know. Annie, thanks so much. I'm going to be speaking with you, girl, tomorrow.
All right, girlfriend. Give me a shout.
Will do, honey. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Annie of Southern Sense. It's conservative sense. And see, I don't even drink, but I pretend I do on the radio. But talking with Annie, I kind of felt like this. But we're going... Annie's going to kill me. But we are out of time. But I just want to remind you that we were remembering a very special lady, and her name was Netta, and she was killed June 20th, 2009, for doing nothing more than protesting in Iran and trying to protect her heritage. I'm not going to close out with a normal song. I'm going to close out with a song that Colleen Gray gave me permission to play. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your host, Kel Fritzy. I will see you back here on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with Tim Burton. People, it is mass Islamity. We have to stop the insanity and acknowledge that Islam is a political entity. Thank you all so very much for being here.
But we love.